You may be seated. Take your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And tonight we're going to continue our series on God's love, and out of 1 Corinthians 13, we'll be in this chapter at least tonight and next week, possibly a third week. There's too many points to get in and too much to teach here. So last week we talked about what charity is not. Okay, we're going to read the whole chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to read all 13 verses. You follow along quickly as I read quickly. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now the word charity in this chapter is translated in the Greek as agape. It's the word love. Agape and charity virtually are the same word, and it is a love that gives. It's God's love. But as we noticed last week, man has perverted the word charity. We call charity giving money to somebody that's poor and needs food. God said in verse number 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it is nothing. So charity is not just giving. We saw what those things that God says charity is not. And last week, we talked about that. Tonight, God, let me say this very, very boldly. God is very capable of explaining himself in his word. You get a lot of these preachers up here that want to go deep into the word of God. Barf. Most of them go down deep and come up dry, let me tell you. They hit sand while they're down there and got a mouth full of mud. They don't know what they're talking about. God is very clear to define what charity is not, but he's also very clear to define what charity or love is. It's more than just giving or giving of gifts and things. Charity love is far more than a feeling or a sincere heart. We're getting into a realm, and our press has been doing this for 30 plus years. Our world is now doing it. We want to judge everybody's motive. And right and wrong is decided by somebody's motive. Here's the problem. You can't judge somebody else's motive.
Right.
You have no business judging what somebody else's motive is. That's God's job, not yours. Well, President Trump, he is just trying to create problems. Wait a minute. That's somebody judging somebody's motive. Well, this person is doing this, but they're doing it because. Now, wait a minute. That's judging somebody's motive. We have even brought that down into Christianity. Here's how some Baptist churches and have been doing this for 10, 15, 20 years now. Well, how many of your converts really meant it when they got saved? What a bunch of junk. Well, were they sincere enough that they really got saved? Now you're playing in God's territory. You're treading on God's side of the rope, and let me tell you something, he going to jerk a knot in yours. He's going to be around your neck, and you're not going to like it. I had somebody not too long ago, we were talking about how many folks have been saved and getting baptized in our church, and they said, well, how many of them really meant it? I said, the same as your two. Amen. He didn't like my answer. I didn't like his question. And I proceeded scripturally to show him why. And the conversation ended very shortly thereafter. Now, let me say this very carefully and very compassionately. You'll not find one feeling mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13. You'll not find one tingle mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13. You won't find two people looking at each other with cow eyes in 1 Corinthians 13. You won't see one expensive gift or trip mentioned or even referred to in 1 Corinthians 13. Isn't it interesting, God's difference in what charity is and man's? If I have to choose between what man says and what God says, I have no choice. I'm going to take what God says. I don't care what society says. I don't care what culture says. I don't care what even some guy with a dress or a PhD or, by the way, PhD means post-hole digger, a pretty heavy date. Okay? I don't care whether they got a DD or a BVD or whatever it is by their name. Now, tonight, I want to begin to look at the... Okay, my wife's diamond. Every one of you ladies that has a diamond. It's got all different kinds of little... what they call facets on there, little smooth spots. And as the light hits that diamond, as it hits those spots, it changes colors and sparkles a different way on each one of those little facets. 1 Corinthians 13 is like a diamond, and I'm going to pull out the little jeweler's thing. You're going to be able to get a good look at it, and we're just going to shine the light at every little different facet of 1 Corinthians 13 over the next couple weeks. You're going to get to see things that you never saw before, not because it's hidden, but because we just don't often slow down enough to think about it. Now, I do want you to take these lessons personally. I'm not talking to any one person, but I want every person, including the guy talking, to take this personally. We need to take a good long look at ourselves. If you listen to this and then you go home and tell your children or you tell your spouse, well, you're not doing what the preacher said. You just blew 1 Corinthians 13. This isn't about somebody else. It's about you. Amen. Now, I want it to affect you deeply. This is about your own life. Now, you will not see charity as God does naturally. God's love and our love are worlds apart.
That's right.
We don't naturally look at life through God's eyes. We look at it through our eyes.
That's right.
We don't look at what we're supposed to do based on right and wrong as much as we do how does it affect us. I'm trying to lose some weight, getting in shape. I don't do what I want to do. Sitting at dinner tonight, had rabbit food and all that other good stuff. I didn't, but I mean, my wife said, did you want something else? I said, yes. She said, what? I said, I'm not going to eat anything. I want it, but it doesn't mean I'm going to eat it. I did want more, but I did not eat more. That doesn't come naturally. That comes naturally. That's the problem. Every time I jump on that stupid elliptical 6 days a week for 30 minutes at a time, you say, don't you want to give up? I get mad at myself that I'm in the shape I'm in. And I'm in shape, but I don't like round as a shape. I'm trying to make it a little bit more oblong. So sometimes we have to realize we're not going to naturally see love God's way. Most of the time we won't. Man is selfish. Man is proud. Man is arrogant. Man wants to view life through his eyes or her eyes. Now, isn't it amazing? God says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. He even told us in the Bible, you're going to have to force yourself to look at things my way. So here we go. All right. And I'll finish early enough so we can capsize one tonight. Amen. First of all, God says that charity or love suffers long. Look at verse number 4. Charity suffereth long. I want you to notice something. God said the first thing about charity, about love and what it is, it suffers long. You say, what is that? Marriage. No, the longest sentence in the world. I do. Now, this means that love is not all warm, squishy, feels good, smooth sailing stuff. Isn't it amazing how we think love is associated with everything's going just fine? God said love suffers long. That word suffereth long means this, patiently enduring a long time. Suffering that comes but will not leave or stop. God said the first thing about love is it's going to suffer, and that suffering will never or may never stop, or it won't stop for an awfully long time. Can I tell you something? Lost people can, even a lost person can love or have compassion when everything's going well. But godly love pulls through the rough times and still loves. Love still keeps going. Charity keeps going when everybody else gives up. A woman suffers for 9 months to have a baby. You face the jaws of death and hatch that puppy. Amen. Did you know the suffering's not over? The suffering's just really starting. Because for the next 18, 20 years or so, you're taking care of that child. And many times that child hurts you. Sometimes on purpose, sometimes not. And the suffering doesn't stop. Once they leave your home, the suffering doesn't stop. They hurt, you hurt. Once you conceive seed and with that child, the suffering never stops. But yet you love that child. Love suffers long. It doesn't mean that it's bad all the time, but you will suffer a long time for love. This may be due to disease. It could be mental anguish. It could be spiritual anguish. And I don't mean to be rude, crude, or anything else. It can be hormonal anguish. It can be death. It can be heartache in your families. It can be any number of things that create this suffering. Now, there are some things that can be helped medically, but some things just never leave. I want you to notice it's not just suffering long. Let's read the first verse 4 here. Charity suffereth long, comma, and is, what's the next word? Kind. So charity is not just long suffering, but it's being kind during the long suffering. So real Bible love, real Bible charity is the ability to be kind during the suffering long of whatever you face. This is kindness by the one who is suffering. It's also the kindness for those who love the sufferer. It goes both ways. If my wife is suffering with a toothache, she's supposed to try to remain kind. But I'm supposed to also remain kind to her if she's not kind because she's suffering. Everybody understand that? It's called give somebody a free pass. Now, some of you live on a free pass. And that's not what God wants. But God says real Bible love is being kind while you suffer. I know some people, the moment they get a fingernail bent, they are the wicked witch of the north, you know? I mean, they're just ready to tear everybody's head off. I know some people that get the news they got cancer, and you'd never know they were sick. The ones that are able to pull through, did you ever meet those people you didn't want to ask them how you doing because they were going to tell you? They were going to tell you everything that was wrong. And if you knew they went to the doctor, you didn't even want to call because you know it was going to be an hour and you're going to get a blow-by-blow of everything the doctor did and some things you shouldn't know. I visit in the hospitals a lot. I'm around sickness a lot. I had a friend of mine in Ohio call me or texted me one day and she said, Craig, would you pray for my daughter? She's at the ER. She's having some troubles. And she very quickly, briefly, just described some of the troubles. And I said, have them check for this. This is what it is. She said, okay, you scare me. They're checking for that and one other thing. I said, they can eliminate the other. I said, I know what she's got. I've seen that girl 3 times in my life. I mean, I wasn't there. I'm 5.5 hours away. About 3 hours later, my phone buzzed and she said, you're right. I said, yep. I know the symptoms. She said, you scare me. I said, it's okay. I do that to a lot of people. Can I tell you something? Being kind while you suffer. And being kind to people that suffer. Did you know when somebody's hurting, they don't feel like being kind? Men, I'm going to pick on us for a second. We are the worst at getting sick. We are the biggest babies there are. Let me tell you. I'm not afraid to say it. You know, God help us if I ever have to get sick enough to throw up because the world's going to stop. Now, I hate throwing up with a passion. I do everything in the world not to allow it to happen. But if I ever get to that point, the whole world knows I'm sick. And just leave me alone. I don't want to be messed with. Now, I can't tell you that I've always been as kind as I should be. I've watched people, excuse me, you know, okay. I'm thinking, ain't no way I could do that. Uh-uh. Just don't do that to me. Okay? So if you ever see the preacher and he runs out of here, somebody else is closing the service, all right? Because I'm going to be in no shape. Now, I've got a pretty high tolerance, and I can take an awful lot. But if I'm down, I'm down. I'm a wimp. I'm not afraid to say it. Give me my blankies and cover me up if I got a fever and plug all the medicines in and leave me alone on my recliner till I get through that thing. Let me moan and groan as I wish. It's going to be all right. I know it. Wait a minute, not every person's does it that way. You know, some of you ladies, I mean, it's tough. And I'm not afraid to keep going, trust me. I preached a year ago December, the whole month with walking pneumonia. And I understand. I know what it's like to push through things. But what is kindness? The word kind there means show oneself useful. Can I tell you something? When you're hurt, when you're sick, when your heart's broken, be useful. Just because you're hurting doesn't mean you have to stop everything in life. We get this mentality, just because I hurt, I've got to stop everything in the world because I hurt. That's selfish. That's not love. The word kind means gracious. Can I tell you something? Don't look at what people say. Just accept the fact they tried to say something. Can I tell you something? People don't know how to comfort most times. I spend my life trying to comfort people. There are times the best comfort I can be is to say, there are going to be people tell you things that are going to hurt you in the next few weeks. Don't listen to them. Just smile. Don't let it hurt you and say, thank you. And forget what they said, but be appreciative that they said something. It happens when a lady loses a child or a baby. Oh, my soul, people. People can be cruel, and they think they're being kind. And I always tell folks, don't worry about what people say. Don't listen to what they say. Just accept the fact they said something and say thank you, and they loved you. They tried. Accept the fact that they tried. You say, well, I went through something, and somebody hurt me. Okay, they didn't know they hurt you. They thought they were trying to help. Job looked at his three friends and said, miserable comforters are y'all. Most people are miserable comforters. Now, most people don't comfort as many people as I have to comfort in life. I probably have the most unusual bedside manner at the hospital. Amen, Brother Fred? I can find humor in anything. I really can. I prayed for a lady one day. She was having surgery. I went to the hospital early. I prayed for her and said, now remember, if you didn't go to the bathroom before you left, I said, you're going to have troubles when you come out of that thing. That's what I said as they were wheeling her down the hall. But I knew this lady like a sister. I got back a few hours later, or much later that evening, and I walked in the door, and she's about ready to kill me. I said, what are you all wound up about? She said, do you know what the nurses said I said when I woke up? I said, what? I was asking about whether I wet myself. We're sitting there laughing about it. But that's what she needed. She was all scared. Man, the folks that were carting her down the hall, man, they were hooting and hollering, buddy. It was great. I had the whole wing of the hospital laughing at that lady on the way down there. She had them laughing on the way back up, but I didn't. I wasn't even around. Now, may I say something? Let's be gracious. Let's be kind with our words. Let's not worry necessarily what somebody said. Let's accept the fact that somebody tried. Somebody gave you a gift and you didn't like the gift. Okay, but at least they tried. Every little picture, every little note, every half piece candy that got chewed up by a kid that gave it to me, and they wanted to give me half their candy after they went, here you go, preacher. You know, I love every one of them. Now, I don't eat some of that stuff, but can I tell you something? I appreciate the fact that they cared enough to try to want to give me something. I'll accept that kind of love. A couple of the bus kids at Christmas, we gave out gifts, and one of the little boys walked by and said, preacher, I don't have nothing to give you. Took the bow off and handed me the bow on the gift that we gave him. Said, here, you can have that. I ended up with about a half a dozen bows. I loved it. That was those kids saying, preacher, I love you. I'll take that over the gift any day. Because it was pretty funny watching them plug them on Brother Joe's head. But God says that being kind as you suffer long, or being kind to someone who is suffering long, that's what God calls charity first. God calls charity being kind while you suffer, or being kind to someone who is suffering. Number two, love does not envy. Keep reading. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. That word envy means zealously desire, fervently jealous for. Envy doesn't mean you want what somebody else has. It means you put your want aside to give somebody else what they want. Charity is me saying, I want something, but that doesn't matter. I want her to have something instead. And I want him to... No, I don't. I want him to have something, and her and him, and her and him, and her. And I want others to have something instead of me getting it. Envying says, I want something. Oh, I want it so bad. I gotta have this in life. My wife will tell you, there's nothing in my life I have to have other than the will of God. I want nothing. I really don't. One time I flippantly said something about an elk hunt that I'd one day that would be really cool to do. Never dreamed it possible, and we've been able to work it out. But I told her, I said, it's not, and when I said it, I said, by the way, that's not a desire. It would be nice, but it's so far out of range, I don't even think about it. And the Lord worked out some unbelievable miracles to make it happen. Okay, no problem. But I'll be honest with you. If it didn't happen, I'm just as happy. I wanted my wife to get a new kitchen. So I made sure she did. Sold a gun. Sold some other things she didn't know about. Made it happen. Redid her kitchen for her. That was more... By the way, I wanted that more than I want a stupid hunt. I'll be honest with you. I want you to have what you want. Envy doesn't mean you want what somebody else has. You put somebody else's wants ahead of yours. Brother Hiles made a quote I want you to hear. It says it best. Love is wanting all of a person's needs supplied and wanting to be the one who supplies all those needs. That is unenviable love. Love is wanting a person's needs to be supplied, and you want to be the one to supply those needs. What a wonderful way to say that. Uh-oh, she owes me a pizza. Bible love says that my new toy or my dream is on hold until everyone around me has what they want first. I don't want things. I want everybody else to have what they want. I don't look for what I want. When I go out somewhere, it's, boy, my wife would like this. Mindy would like this. Josh or Jeff or Ruth Ann would like this. I'm on the search for something for my daughter-in-law. I found out something about her over Christmas that she liked. I'm searching for something. I haven't even told my wife I'm searching for it. Say why? Because it's going to be from me. Because I want her to have what she wants. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says that love, God says that love, is you putting what you want aside to give somebody else what they want or what they need. But God commandeth his love toward us, that while we were at sinners, Christ died for us. He put what he wanted on hold to give us what we needed. Envy means I have to have the best or the top of the line of everything, live in debt, pay for it instead of getting what I need or want to afford without going into debt to get it. Well, there's some things I'd like to get, I'm sure, but I can't afford them, so I don't think about them. If the time comes and it's there, we'll talk about it. If not, but I'm going to make sure she gets three or four times that before I get what I want. Say why? Because that's what real love is. Love doesn't look or spend money on self by saying I. It seeks what somebody else wants and says you or us. I gave up my ability to live like a single man on June 24th, 1989. All that money that I used to spend on me ended up being spent on my wife as well. And then we had three little cabooses. And then that meant that we had to spend money on them. And there's some things I would have liked to have done 20 years ago, but I couldn't. You say, but you missed out. I did. My life ain't over yet. And if I never get to them, I still didn't miss out. I've enjoyed each step of the way. So love is not envy. Envy meaning fervent jealousy. I know people that live for whatever they want. If they can't spend money on themselves all the time, they're not happy. God bless you. It's more fun doing something for somebody else. Brother Stoltz and I were out soul winning today, and I met someone that had a need. I thought I could help him. Matter of fact, it was bee pollen. Amen, brother. I went to four different stores to find a bottle of stupid bee pollen. I ended up finally having to call my wife, and I was at the store, and even the stupid pharmacist couldn't find the stuff. My wife says, go to this aisle, look down there, about right here. There it was. Finally got it, drove back to where that person was, walked in, handed it to him, and walked out. Brother Stoltz looked at me. He said, preacher? He said, you're having fun. I said, that is the definition of fun right there. I said, finding a need somebody has and being able to fill it, especially when they're not expecting you to, I said, this is how the preacher has fun. He said, you are wound up. I said, I know, I'm loving this. I said, it is great. Can I tell you something? That's fun. That's more fun than spending what I would have spent on that on me. Because if I had spent it on me, that's another 14 hours on the elliptical. I'm learned I don't reward myself with food anymore because the reward is not worth the work afterwards. Now, so love, next, vaunteth not itself. Look at verse number 4 again. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. I love that word, vaunteth. That word means brag, boast, or lift up oneself. Everybody doing okay? Remember I said I wanted you to take this personal? Believe me, I was bleeding as I wrote this out. All right? Real love doesn't compare me to you. Real love doesn't say, well, honey, I can do that better than you can. Just let me do that. That's not real Bible love. Did you know, as you're training children, it's a whole lot easier for somebody that's been doing it 30, 35, 40 years to do it than somebody that's 3 or 4 years old? But the only way they learn to do it is if they keep doing it and failing until they do it and succeed. My wife, it would take her twice as long to do laundry when our kids were around. Not because there was more laundry, but she was teaching them to do it. She could do it faster herself. But her goal wasn't to get the laundry done just alone. It was to train my children to get their laundry done so that when they lived on their own, they could do their own laundry. My son called my wife last week and said, Mom, you know certain thing you make? What's the recipe? Can you give it to me over the phone? Or I don't know what she did, but she was teaching him how to make it. I was, you know, just becoming a cook. God bless him. He's launching out. Something more than McDonald's or barbecue, amen? What's in it? Anyway, you know, real love doesn't compare my family with her family. I don't say, well, if your mom was more like my mom, that's really stupid. I don't want two moms, do you? One's more than enough. And I love my mother-in-law. She is one of the greatest ladies you'll ever meet in your whole life. I mean that. I don't try to compare them. My in-laws live in Minnesota. Let me rephrase that. My in-laws survive in Minnesota. 2 below 0 this morning, and it was 60 here. 62 degree difference this morning. That would have been like it being 120 degrees here this morning compared to what they were. I mean, it was just cold. My folks are in Florida. I mean, you talk about extreme differences. But I'm not going to compare them. I'm not going to compare her brother to my brother. I'd say her sister to, but I don't have a sister. But I'm not going to compare her family to my family. Well, that side, you know, it's our family. Real love doesn't compare our kids to your kids. I don't compare people's children. Love is not a competition. That's what vaunteth not means. Vaunteth not means somebody's not trying to be in first place all the time. Men, we got to be careful with that. We're competitive by nature. Oh, believe me, we're competitive by nature. Sunday night, I watched part of the Super Bowl. I turned it off before it was over. I went to bed. My wife said, you're not going to stay up and watch it all? I said, no, I don't care. It's just a stupid football game. And I really don't care who wins. It really didn't matter. I did not watch the end of the game. Said, oh, you missed it. I didn't miss anything. Whether you were for or against the team that won, I didn't miss anything. I wasn't rooting necessarily for either team. I could pull for both teams equally. Part of me was a little happy New England won, so Tom Brady could rub it in Mr. Goodall's face. I think Brady got a raw deal this year. And he's not one of my favorite people in the face of the earth, trust me. But there was a part of me that, for his sake, I was happy. There's a part of me that, because he supported Trump, everybody was against him. There's a part of me that said, I hope he wins just in spite of that. Shut the liberals up again. Make them squawk. Didn't bother me either way. Love doesn't try to compete. Let me... Okay, smile. I love you. Love is not measured by my gift is better than your gift. Okay, something happened there. I don't know what happened, but I'm getting out of that one. Love does not try to conquer or be king. Love tries to be servant. Let me say that again. In love not vaunting itself, it doesn't try to be king, it tries to be servant. When love tries to serve, it doesn't care who the king is. Do you know I could love June as much as I love Joe? And I can love Joe as much as I love Evan? And I can love Evan as much as I love Wiley? I'm not sure I can love Joe as much as I love Wiley, but I'll try. Now, wait a minute. Did you know it's not a competition when you're serving somebody? You know, it doesn't matter who loves you most. I'm transitioning my daughter. She's an adult, and she's growing fonder of someone. My job is to transfer that love to somebody else, isn't it? Not be jealous of it. And I am. I'm teaching him. I'm coaching him. I'm coaching her. Man, it's fun. I thought I'd hate this. Man, I'm enjoying every second of it. I shocked my daughter's gourd off last night like you wouldn't believe. My wife was over there going, I mean, we were laughing. Good thing we didn't have FaceTime. I couldn't have held a straight face. She just wasn't ready for it. I was. Got my little dig, and on we went. She doesn't know what I did behind the scenes today either. And it's okay. You say, what is that? Why wouldn't I want her to have the best of the best? Why wouldn't I want whoever she gets to have the best of the best? I told her the day she was born she was going to marry some toe-headed idiot and leave me one day. And that I loved her more than she loved me because I ain't leaving, she is. I prepared for it 19, 20 years ago. The day will come, whether it's Brandon or not. Right, Julian? you have to ask her to see her video when she had her teeth out. It's hilarious. Now, wait a minute. Love doesn't try to conquer and be king. Love tries to be servant. Love gets up and puts the dishes in the dishwasher after your wife already made all the dinner. Man, my kids all left. I don't have anybody else to put dishes away. So it's either me or her, and she's good enough to cook the food. I'm good enough to help put things away. And I do. When the kids came back, my daughter and my daughter-in-law just about attacked me because I got up to do the dishes one time. Sit down! This is my house. Don't tell me what to do. Man, I got spoiled for a week. I wasn't used to it. They all left. I thought, man, I got to go back to doing dishes again. You know what? I enjoy doing it because I get to help my wife. It's not about whether who does it. I just enjoy trying to serve. So, we got through the first three. I'm going to shut it down. But love, God says love is suffering long and being kind. God said that love doesn't envy. God said that love doesn't vaunt itself. Now, it goes through a list of other things. We're going to go through each one. Those were the longest ones that we're going to go through. The others will speed up. It'll take us a couple weeks. But I want you to notice, it doesn't say love gets a tingly feeling. Love doesn't make you quiver all inside. Now, if you get the quiver and the tingle, great. But if you don't, it can still be love. I'm glad at almost 50 years old and I've been married 27 and a half years that I still tingle when I hold my wife's hand. And I don't even think about tingling if I bump into a man. Never did, never going to. And the day I do, shoot me. Trust me, I'll probably pull the trigger before you do. Can I tell you something? I'm glad for the tingle when it's there, but it doesn't have to be there for me to love her. You know, love is more than a feeling. God said love suffers, love's not envious, love doesn't vaunt itself. We'll go through the other things of what love is in weeks to come. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Boy, God's very capable at telling us what love is. Told us that love isn't giving gifts and buying food for poor people and having all this intellectualism and spiritualism. No, love's suffering long. Caring for somebody that suffers along, as well as being kind while you suffer. It doesn't envy, it doesn't vaunt itself,